All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? It's Thursday.
Is it?
Everybody's nourished. Everybody's feeling frisky as we're getting close to the weekend. You guys all get Good Friday tomorrow. We get to work. But Nick, Barry, and myself are all present and accounted for in the studio today for our last day in quite a while. So, yeah. All together as one unit, I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah, well, you thought yesterday was Friday.
Dude, it's been a rough week for me.
That was funny.
And my brain. Soft pork corn. Thinking Wednesday was Friday. It's been a little rough.
So let's get down to basics right away. I mean, the most important stuff right off the top is we always do. And so therefore, that means the life according to Barry. How was the show last night?
Dude, the show was so badass. Naro, who is he's the host, but he also books it, man. He packed that place out. So like I said, Mandy from she's a former ESPN employee. She was on the promotions team. Brought like 9 of her friends to hang out, but just wall-to-wall people, and you know, we had a blast. And they were a hot crowd, and T'Shawn Shannon, the headliner, ripped it. So yeah, dude, it was a great time. And then I had to go home and write for Fred's website, and I may have had a couple of drinks. So I felt kind of bad, like I let Fred down on the website, because I was just like, I'm tired. So I kept it real short and sweet and sportsy, and it wasn't even funny, and I just was like, I can't do it tonight.
He's promoting the hell out of it. It better have some substance to it.
Yeah, it sucked. It didn't suck. I just broke down like the playoffs and all that, and usually I try to be more like, I had plans to talk about like the Louis C.K. special versus the Kevin Hart special versus Chappelle, and like what the differences are, but you know what I mean? Like, I was going to do something kind of comedy nerdy, but I had too many Crown and Diet Cokes, so I decided not to.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do it next time, right?
Well, I mean, if you know, you better have your numbers straight. Otherwise, you might be breaking it down like someone on another station where you just start taking tweets and believing them as truth in numbers.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Oh, it's just, that's not just what happened.
It happens all the time. Oh, you told me that story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't believe what people tweet you. I don't.
No.
Never. I never do. I do have something I wanted two things that were bothering me this morning. One, as you know, I go get Subway almost every day. And I bitch about the different scenarios that take place in Subway. So I've bitched about the super long list person. There's been some weird things that have happened down there. But today I got behind A-hole on the phone.
Oh,
and I'm in a hurry because I got here at like, you know, 12:35.
You're on blitz time.
And I needed to get my sandwich and get back here. And so I go down there, and usually I can just get right through the line. And there was several people in there, and that's okay. But the dude in front of me is on his phone, and he takes the call right as he orders. So he's like, hello? Yeah, let me get a 6-inch Italian. Oh, what's up? And then he spends the entire time on his phone, and it took twice as long for this dude to order his sandwich because he's too busy and too concerned about talking on the phone. And I was so close to being like, hey, bro, if you're not ready, just step out of line and let everybody else behind you go.
That would drive me crazy, like totally drive me crazy.
Because he's pointing at the
glass.
You said that? No, I wanted to.
Oh, you should have.
I know. I saw, but he was like, he would touch the glass for what he wanted, like it was a touch screen, like you could touch screen order at Buc-ee's or something,
or like on an app.
Because he would just point to the banana peppers, and the lady's just looking at him like, I don't know what you're pointing at, sir. It's glass, and you're not close enough. Oh, it was so aggravating, and I was already mad because I was driving it. My wife said that I could take her car today, so I'm you know because my truck's only like 3 years old, and I almost have 100,000 miles on it already.
What do you drive? Oh, that's right.
Comedy.
You do live in the...
Well, comedy. I mean, I drive, you know, San Antonio, dude, Oklahoma, Dallas,
oil change,
El Paso,
doorbells rang. Think about the length of those trips.
I put a lot of miles.
But the
for
commute
comedy.
To your house back here, that's pretty long too.
It is. Yeah, every absolutely. Day. So my wife is, you know, she wasn't feeling well today, so she called in. So she's like, "Yeah, you can take my car." I was like, "Awesome." So, you know, I'm slightly aggressive on the roads. Not too bad.
That's a bit of an understatement,
Nick's told some au contraire, according to Nick.
That's a bit of an understatement.
You shut your mouth. I'm a great driver.
Okay.
Nick's like, no, yeah. Dude, when Nick tells you you're a bad driver, you're a horrible driver. Because Nick's a bad driver. That's not good. But I'm like, you know, I'm doing my thing, and I get over, and there's this slow truck in the left lane. And I'm so mad because I'm like, just get out of the way. I hate that. So I go to pass him. And as I'm passing him, I always honk at people that go real slow. As you know, Nick.
Yes, you do.
I definitely use the horn. You are aware. I honk at pedestrians. I don't care.
Yeah.
Nick witnessed all this firsthand. But I'm passing this truck and I go to honk. And I'm used to my truck. Get out of the way, right? And I get around in my wife's car and I was like, hey, just get out.
Yeah.
Like, what was that?
Duck snort.
That's like Japanese honk.
Yeah, I can't be taken seriously as an angry driver if I'm like, get the bleep out of the way, Hank. What? So now I'm like, oh, I can't. This was embarrassing. I almost wanted to back up and get back behind him again and be like, you know what? You win this round. I can't. But, oh, and then, so now I'm forgetting about it and I'm moving in and out of traffic and someone cuts me off, Hank. I was like, oh, God, this, I can't. I know now in the top 10 of things I'm going to look for in a car is the horn. Like, you don't realize how important that is until you end up with, heh.
Yeah, that's how it is in my car. I'm kind of embarrassed to honk. I still use it when I'm angry, but it sounds pretty much exactly like what you sound.
And you can't be like a man, an angry man driver, heh.
Yeah, it has like it's like, whoa, a high-pitched honk.
You want to go, bro?
Nick said, when I'm angry.
Which is always.
That's funny.
Which is always, yeah, right? Exactly.
But I will tell you this. One thing I've never done, or actually I have done, but not as.
Wait a minute. One thing I've never done. Which, okay, yeah, I have.
Okay,
this
Trey.
Guy, he just disrespects the traffic director. Like, we're on the way to the Astros game. The guy's like, you need to stop. This traffic stops. We're letting this traffic go. What does Barry do? He lets one car go and just starts turning left. No. Like, that's exactly what he did.
First of all, he didn't have a badge, so he means nothing to me.
He did. It wasn't
a
cop.
I don't give a damn who you are. If you are a police officer.
He had one of those orange suits on,
yeah,
like vests.
Great.
On.
Oh, yeah. I could get one of those at Gander Mountain. I don't give a damn what color vest you have on. You think I care? I'm like, no, bro. If you got a badge and a gun, then I respect your authority.
You're probably otherwise, right. I would have done that.
Otherwise, you can go to hell with your traffic ideas. No. I'm going to let one go out of courtesy, and then I'm getting in. I'm merging. Here I come.
Jeez.
That was horrible. Yeah. I am an aggressive driver, though.
I'm sure, Joel, you have that similar honk on your car because it's the same thing.
Toyota.
Toyotas have that kind of almost digital kind of.
Yeah, my wife's is a Nissan. But it's still the same, like, pansy ass.
But with an SUV, it's a little deeper, but it's still not.
My truck, mine's a Chevy truck. That's a man's honk.
They've been pretty consistent with their honk. It sounds exactly the same for, like, it's just like.
Who, Toyota?
No, Chevy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's been the same honk forever.
Get a man's honk out of that. Yeah. One time, I don't know if it was because I was tailgating them or the car in the left lane was going really slow, but I was on 99, and I don't remember where I was going, but, you know, it's only two lanes. And so there was the slow-ass car on the left and this big black truck with, you know, 4x4, had the big wheels on it. Like, he was definitely overcompensating for something, for lack of other things.
The LPC?
Yeah. And so he's next to me, and we can't, like, both of us are trying to drive fast, and we can't get around anybody. And so we finally get around this guy, and I'm right behind the big truck, and that guy's still in the left lane. And as he gets up beside him, he's got a train horn on his truck. And I was not expecting that. And it scared the crap out of me. Because I was, like, right behind him, too, and all of a sudden it's just like, and oh my God. And I almost swerved, and I'm sure the guy next to me almost swerved. That's the ultimate man horn, and when you get a train horn on your truck, and I know a few guys that have had those, but they that'll
great.
Scare the crap out of you.
They are great. Otherwise, you get just get the Rodney Dangerfield. Like from Caddyshack. People, you can just use it to let them know, hey, I'm coming through. Get out of the way.
Or like a Dukes of Hazzard honk.
That would be sweet. Yeah, that would be sweet, but also just don't have that flag on the top or on the back. Or you might either, one, be a redneck, or two, be in Barry's way on the way to Beaumont for an appearance.
It's true.
What was that lake? Sour Lake?
Sour Lake.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, not Sour Lake, but all of the houses on the way between here and Beaumont on 105. Lots of rebel flags.
You calling them houses, or are they just trailers with a roof?
A lot of, you know, it was weird. There's also a lot of incomplete buildings. It's like they started building in something and either ran out of funds or desire.
Or both.
Just literally just that four walls with nothing but studs, and that's it. It's crazy.
All right, we got a good show today. We got Tas Mellis coming up from the Starters. And we have Kevin McHale coming up as well in a somewhat basketball-themed show as the regular season, which, of course, to LeBron means nothing. The real season starts now or this weekend. So we will be talking to Tas at 2:15. We'll be talking to Kevin McHale probably at 1:15. And we will get your thoughts and comments along the way. So please feel free to join us, 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line. And also, you can reach us via Twitter at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects, and this is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4 on The Usual Suspects. We are through the door and in headquarters today. Tomorrow, Good Friday, we will be at Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 North in the Canino exit. So if you want to join us, Barry and I will be right inside the front door. We will have Rudy's Barbecue. We will have lots of adult beverages from St. Arnold. We will have lots of fun and games. And if you need anything for your truck or trailer like Kevin McHale drives, you can get curb feelers, you can get neon sirens, and you can get big horns that sound like you're driving a cruise ship.
Man horn. That's what I need. Well, that sounds weird. I don't. I take
that
back.
Yeah, you ought to stay away from man horns.
And without further ado, my good friend Kevin McHale on the line. Coach, you want a man horn for your truck?
As I said, let's stay away from that, boy.
I regretted it as soon as I said it, Coach.
Yeah,
immediately
I regretted you saying it as soon as you said it.
That's great.
Coach, how great is it when you can sit in the studio and eat pizza rolls and salad while on the air?
Yeah, especially when you get caught eating a salad. That was the worst part. They said, like, we're not on air, so I was putting my salad away. We're on air. I went, oh, gosh. We had a lot of laughs. We had a lot of laughs. After we took that game. All game long, I kept on saying, if Jackie Moon can wrestle a bear in semi-pro, Tony Romo can go in the game for the Dallas Mavericks. Throw him in there.
Yes.
Then I realized that they had no contract, actual contract. They had no, like, if something would happen, oh my gosh. Tony Romo would own the Dallas Mavericks and Mark Cuban would be the ball boy.
Now, Coach, isn't there a rule? Like, I thought there was a rule in terms of placement on the bench, because you can only have, what, three assistants in the front row?
Yeah.
And I thought from the standpoint of the guys suiting up in uniform, that you had to have a contract to be in that front row.
Yeah, I know that. I thought about that too. I mean, just even having him on your bench. I don't know. I mean, you know what though? I thought it was kind of cool. I really did. I thought, you know, Romo's there. The Mavericks aren't going anywhere. You know, Rick had his arm around him, and I was just chuckling because Rick's really intense. And I think Rick had just kind of said, "Hey, at this point, let's have Jackie Moon wrestle the bear, baby." I mean, come on. Yeah, that's all we need. I wanted bear wrestling, and no one would bring it to me.
Coach, I'm with you. I thought it was great. I didn't have a problem if he would have played, did you? I mean,
no.
Some people felt it would have cheapened the game.
I honestly was saying, throw him in there for a game. Who cares? You know what I mean? And look, And I know everybody loses their mind and they start saying the integrity of the game. When you sit out, you know, when you have a game and between the two teams, they're sitting out their nine best players, how much integrity is left in that game?
Right.
You know what I mean? So wrestle bears. And if you get out with your life, just consider it a blessing. When the bear broke out. That's one of my favorite parts of that movie.
Now you've been our judge and jury all year, and I'm glad you finally sided with Barry on something, because I was that guy that said, you know, get off my lawn, because I was saying that there was a roster spot to be had and it was a promo stunt and whatever, but that's fine. I can tolerate it, Coach.
Yeah, but you know what? Look, again, as I said, we'll end on this. If you don't play your nine best players, what kind of integrity is left in that game?
Look, Brooklyn,
honestly, there's none.
There's a theme here. Brooklyn needed to rest their six best players because
that?
They were preparing for the lottery.
Oh, that one, I literally went, you got to be kidding me. And when this resting stuff started, I said, oh, no. And they were, my coaches were like, what? And I said, I was in Houston at the time, and it kind of became more prevalent. I said, it's going to become a badge of honor now. Like, I'm so good, they rest me when I'm healthy. Mm. And I'm like, that is the worst thing that can happen. Because these guys who are on social media and all this stuff means a lot to them, as opposed to wins and losses, which are the only thing that means anything when you're playing professional sports, will be like, ah, well, you know, I really wanted to go tonight, but yeah, the coach said I'm so valuable, I need to rest. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to become a status symbol, and guys will be pining for it and then claiming I didn't want to rest. Now, that's one thing I'll give Harden and Westbrook credit about, man. They, you know, they played it out. They went through everything, and I think that's what you have to do. I really do, and I give those guys lots of credit. And this whole resting thing has driven me crazy. That's why I want to see Jackie Moon wrestle the damn bear.
You're not going to let that go, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm not. No one would let me do that either.
Now, do you have a vote for MVP?
No. I'm just able to talk on air and try to like get like guys like Matt Weiner, who won't tell me what he's going to do. I want to steal his vote, by the way. Matt Weiner has a vote on the TNT, NBA TV, and TNT desk.
Yep.
I wanted to steal his vote. I thought I should steal his vote.
You should.
All right, so which way are you going? Because I've had Rockets fans tweeting me. They're all mad at you because they said they heard you're going Westbrook.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. I said before Christmas, when I didn't think he would do it, he'd probably 20 games in, he'd maybe play a quarter of the games. I said, if Westbrook ends up, their team ends up winning, getting in the playoffs, and he ends up, you know, getting a triple-double, I will vote for him as, if I had a vote, which I don't unless I steal someone's vote, if I had a vote for the guy, I would vote for Westbrook, because that's something I didn't think was going to happen. When Larry didn't do it, and Magic didn't do it, and Michael didn't do it, and LeBron didn't do it, I didn't think that would happen. So, yeah, I do, and I don't want to hear any of this meaningless numbers and stuff like that. They win games when that guy goes out and performs at that highest level. I know we'll talk about it in a minute. And if you're the Houston Rockets, right now you're thinking what we can't have four games in our upcoming series against Oklahoma City, where Russell Westbrook has the 40, 15, and 13 type numbers. Because I'm telling you what, man, it is hard to beat a team when one guy is doing that. Overall, Houston's got a better team. Overall, I think Houston will win the series. But, man, if you that strikes fear in your heart that Russell has four of those games, and, man, that's that, you know, that's, That as my man Michael Ray Richardson said, the ship be sinking if that happens.
What was the big deciding factor for you between the two? It was the record, or because so many people are saying, because I say they play similar styles, but you know the big thing is that Westbrook, you know, 20 more triple doubles, and he made a really bad team better. Whereas the Rockets, and you can go back and forth on many different fronts, but the Rockets, everybody thought was going to be a 6-7-8 seed. They're the 3 seed, and they've just flourished all over the place, and he had to play a new position.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think in that flourishing with the Rockets did, I think Eric Gordon would be sixth man of the year. I'd vote for him sixth man of the year. I think Mike D'Antoni should be coach of the year, even though there's some, I think later on in the year, some guys really, you know, what Spoelstra was able to do in the middle of the season with Miami after they just stunk for 25 games is pretty amazing. But I think Mike Dan too. So I think they'll get a lot of credit for that. It's as simple as this. As simple as is that Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double. And now you can say, oh, James should have got more. You know what? He didn't. James didn't average triple. Had James averaged a triple-double. Hell, I all along until it became apparent that Westbrook was going to average a triple-double. I was saying James. I thought James was the MVP for all the reasons you said. They had more wins. They were 41-41, I think, last year or around that number, and they have more wins. They went from being a projected seventh, eighth seed to a third seed. Those are all really important things, and James has had a great year. But there's just something about that, Westbrook's ability to do that and push his team, which I don't think is a really. I've watched them, and I'm like, wow, that team is going to be a sixth seed, honestly, on the back of on the back of Westbrook. So, there's a case to be made for both, but I'm just telling you why I decided a Westbrook.
Oh, I appreciate your honesty. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with one more segment with you because we got some more to get to, and we want to get your previews on some of the playoffs as well and the fact that you will actually be working games, which I like to hear, minus the salad and the pizza rolls. So hold tight. If you want to get on the internet in the meantime and see if you can get a man horn, we'll let you slide on that. But we'll be right back with much more with Coach Kevin McHale right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry here in Houston. Kevin McHale somewhere on a very sunny golf course, I'm sure, waiting to get off to the driving range after he gets done with us. But I appreciated him spending some time with us. Before we left off, Coach, we got into your MVP, but Barry wanted to get to you on some things pertinent to this year's postseason.
Yeah, like who you got? Like who's your finals matchup? I mean, we could go round by round, but let's be real.
Yeah, no, I think Golden State, Cleveland. I'm hedging on Cleveland. I'm. I don't know, man. I want to see these guys play. I've heard all this. We're waiting for the playoffs to turn it on, and that's a dangerous thing. So, I think they have the most talent. I think that you got LeBron James, who's just a phenomenal talent, and every team he's on has a chance to win. And then you got Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, and their supporting cast. I think if they get it together, but the way they've played, honestly, if you're Washington, Boston, or Toronto, you're thinking, we got a chance at these guys. Hey, Indiana got to be saying, you know what? Hey, we got to play really well. But Cleveland's been crappy the last couple months. Their defense has been non-existent. I mean, their defense has been just hideous.
Yeah, they're going up 107 a game now.
I watched them, and they didn't even try in the first half against San Antonio. It was actually embarrassing. I was doing the game, and I was like, wow. I mean, just try, okay? I mean, you evidently don't want to be here. You got no interest in this game, but at least try. And it was really bad. They seemed to pick it up. I watched them play against the Celtics one night, just a week ago or so. When the Celtics had they won it, really would have put a death grip on getting that number one seed, which they ended up with anyways. But Cleveland just smothered them. I was like, whoa, okay, well, maybe there is a switch they can turn on. But all that being said, Golden State, Cleveland, and I think Golden State is just – they've played so well the last 20, 25 games. I just don't see anybody beating them again. I mean, they're as good as it gets, and they've got this regular season whiter. I think that's the third straight year of 64-5 or more wins, which is phenomenal.
All right, so Coach, I mean, I think a lot of people would agree with you. Warriors, Cavs would make sense. So give us a surprise team that could inevitably, I mean, or has the best chance, you think, of surprising folks and making it to the finals in the East and the West?
In the East, there's something about Washington and the way they played. I'll throw Washington in there. I would have said Toronto earlier, but Kyle got hurt, and I'm not sure Kyle's in great playing shape right now, not so far as his lungs, but just as far as his rhythm and stuff. But Washington, you know, Beal and Wall, they can score a ton of points. They get up and down. They have enough bigs around there to rebound the ball and protect the rim a little bit. And then, you know, they just have, they have their all their players, their third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth guys, they're all playing pretty well, or have all had stretches where they've played really, really well for that team. And I think that's really important. I mean, you've got to, your shooters have got to make shots. Your complementary players have got to play well. And throughout the year, I've seen Washington have those guys just play at such a high level for them, playing off of Wall and Beal. If they get that in the playoffs, and I think they'll be a tough out. On the Western Conference side, I think Houston or San Antonio could really make some noise. I really do. I think it looks like they'll meet in the second round, and the winner of that could give Golden State a run for their money. I think Golden State's vulnerable, and some nights I watch them play. Other nights I just think, oh man, they're hitting stride. The thing that I like about Golden State is their defense. It picks up, and that's the thing about Golden State has in the last 25, 30 games. And that's the one thing that scares me a little bit about Houston versus Golden State. I think San Antonio's better defensive team than Houston. If Houston would just try to get into a shootout with Golden State, and that's like, you know, man, that's a dangerous game, boy. I just don't know if anybody can just get in shootouts and say we're going to beat Golden State exclusively on our ability to score more points than they do. And man, that's a tough road to hoe. But so those are kind of my like dark horses. I think Houston, San Antonio, winner of that, probably playing the Golden State Warriors in the conference finals. You know, they have a chance.
All right, Coach, so you're working, right? What's do you have a series, or are you just working on given nights?
No, I am working right now. I really wanted to do the Western Conference, but right now I am doing a Sunday, Tuesday, Boston. And, Boston, Chicago, which will be interesting. And then I am flying to Indiana and see my boy Larry Bird in the Indiana Pacers versus Cleveland. And then I am going back out east in the early part of the following week, and I got a few more games out there. So that's kind of my schedule over the next week, and everything's subject to change, you know. But that's where I'll go. So I'll be doing the first couple Boston games for TNT.
So the Celtics reunion tour is on, and then if you do end up by chance coming to H-Town, of course you'll join us in studio, and then we'll play golf or something. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I would love to be able. I think that would be a really fun. I think it's going to be a fun series. I think it's going to. I would love to be back in Houston to see all the fellas.
Tell me this. Tell me the keys for both sides. I mean, you and I have talked about the playoffs. Inevitably, it will slow down a little bit. You got to believe that both teams are going to try and take the ball out of the other team's best players' hands. But can Oklahoma City slow down the Rockets and that three-point shooting?
Overall, no, I don't think so. Again, as I said earlier, I think the biggest fear is that Russell has four just superhuman games, and you just can't overcome that. Overall, I think Houston's a better team. I think Houston has better second option guys. I thought getting Lou Williams was big for them later on in the year. He can get offense on his own. You know, Eric Gordon, who was Sixth Man of the Year award, in my opinion, award winner. He can create offense for you. They're going to shoot threes. You know, James is playing at a really high level. My biggest issue with them versus OKC is, can OKC just pound them on the boards? You know, can OKC with Adams and Cantor and Sabonis and some of the bigger bodies that throw out there, can they just beat them up on the boards when the Rockets go small? And I think that gives you a chance in playoff games. There's historically a little bit more missing, especially as the series goes on and teams get comfortable with each other. And then, you know, you've got to be able to defensive rebound if you're Houston. But overall, I think Houston's a better team. I think that they're both pretty set in their styles as far as how they're going to play. And I think all the teams really comfortable with who they are. Both teams are comfortable with Russell and James dominating the ball as much as they do, and everybody playing off those two. So I think, you know, it should be a really fun series. I expect OKC to probably win a few games, but overall, I think Houston is just a better team.
All right, Coach, I've been getting a lot of tweets from a lot of Rockets fans, and they want to know, when you look at what's going on this year with the Rockets, is it frustrating to see because it didn't work out for you in Houston? And then they were saying, you know, did you have a similar offensive system? And I was trying to explain to them, look, you were trying to appease both Dwight and James. And, you know, Dwight was an impending free agent, and they were worried about, early on, they were worried about making sure he was a part of it and getting his touches and everything else. And then later, you know, that all changed again, and you were getting messages from above. So can you break it down, like, difference from last year to this year, and then why James is flourishing so much?
Well, he's in shape. He was in terrible shape last year when he came to camp. He was bad. You know, he was in bad shape. He was heavy. He wasn't making shots. He wasn't playing well to start off the early part of the year. Regardless of his numbers, he just wasn't himself. And it took him a while to get in shape. And I think it's a completely different year. I think all the drama's gone between the Harden Howard stuff and that. You know, I mean, that was always just kind of on the periphery of stuff. It never was really honestly, it wasn't one of those things that tore the team apart. There was always just a little bit of friction in there. But we were able to go with that team to the Western Conference Finals. You know what I mean? That team was able to come together and be down 3-1 in a series against the Clippers and come back. And so, I think that probably got a little bit too much play. Were they really good together? Did they really gel? No, they did not. Dwight and James did not really gel and everything. It wasn't anybody's problem. It wasn't, you know, it was just sometimes two guys just aren't compatible, or they just don't play well together, or whatever the case may be. But no, I mean, you know, when I got let last year, I said, JB, you're a month away from these guys being in shape to play NBA basketball. We had a terrible training camp. Guys were hurt. It was just dysfunctional. Guys were coming in and out. Ty Lawson, I think, had just gotten a day or two before the exhibition, or excuse me, our first practice, had just gotten out of a rehab thing, and it was just a funky year. And honestly, most of that funk was the fact that I think James said it at the end of the year. James wasn't James, and that team has got more options now with Lou Williams and Gordon. But really, back then, you needed James to be James, because Dwight at his best was not a guy that you wanted to throw the ball to all the time in the low post and play out of that. So your second option was just hard to find. But no, I don't, you know what, look at it. I had fun when I was in Houston. I really did. I mean, you know, there was some trauma and some crap, and you always didn't get along with everybody. And I may have had a few beefs with Dwight and maybe a couple of beefs with James, but big deal. You know, I mean, I had fun. And no, I look at it, I'm happy for Mike D'Antoni. I would say he's coach of the year. I think, you know, one of the biggest fights I had with James was just getting out in the wing, where he's phenomenal. Where Harden is great is when he's out ahead of the pack, it's a 3-on-2, it's a 4-on-3, it's a 2-on-1. He's unguardable in that, but he would hang back for the ball all the time and drive me crazy. And so we'd go round and round on that, and I wanted him to get out and run. And so D'Antoni must have seen that or talked to maybe someone who was there, and he said, oh, hell with it. James is going to stay in the background. Let's give him the ball, call him the point guard. And that was genius. I think that D'Antoni just saved himself a lot of hassles trying to get James out running and stuff like that. And I think he did a great job with them, and I'd vote Mike Coach of the Year. But no, I have no – for those who know me, look at, man, life goes on, and I've always been a guy that tomorrow is always something interesting going to happen, and what happened yesterday is over.
Well, and I've said there's only so much I can say, too, but, you know, unless you really want to break down the stuff that people don't know, they don't realize how many different variables and factors go into a lot of this stuff. But the bottom line was, it wasn't the ideal situation. You guys made the most of it. And just making the Western Conference Finals, I don't think people realize what an accomplishment that was, regardless of what happened in that Clippers series. But from where you came to where you got to, I thought that was in itself a great accomplishment. So nothing should be taken away from that regard. You can take tons away from your golf game, but I can't take anything away from what you guys accomplished.
My golf game's improving, my brother. When you live in Scottsdale, one thing that happens, your golf game improves, and you're not coaching. Oh, just wonderful. I tell you what, this is, and, you know, and how can I complain? Like I said, Mr. Alexander decided to pay me for two years and 2¾ years of vacation time.
Yeah, I wish I got that,
you know,
deal.
When you think about that, that's not really a bad gig.
I was aiming for that deal, but I think after you got you drained the pot on that one.
Yeah, the pot was drained a little bit on that one. You're right about that.
Well, we appreciate you spending some time with us. Was the Final Four good?
Yeah, it was. Too many calls, man. That last game, if I had been closer to the court and I didn't have to run all the way down, I might have tackled one of those referees and taken his whistle away. Oh, they drove me crazy.
Well, you were in a football stadium after all, so you could have had a legal tackle at that point.
That's exactly right. I tell you, but no one would have even flagged me for any kind of violation because they needed one of those referees off the floor. There was too many calls and stuff. But overall, you know what? It was in a big football arena. It was probably about as intimate as you can make it for those things, 77,000 people. But I just finished with this. If they would just take that NCAA, and I know they're going to lose millions and millions of dollars because you can't sell 77,000 tickets. But you put that in a 20,000-seat arena with that amount of energy, and it would be phenomenal. The vibe in that arena for those 20,000 people.
You just broke my record for use of phenomenal in one segment, Coach. I love you for that. All right. We are going to be flagged for excessive celebration, but we appreciate you spending some time with us. Have a great Easter weekend, and we will catch up with you down the road. Good luck doing the playoffs.
And watch Jackie Moon wrestle the bear. Goodbye, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Kevin McHale right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. Special thanks to Kevin McHale for joining us for a couple of segments there. Really good stuff in terms of insight in a lot of different ways. But good to have him back on doing some games, too, on TNT. And at least he'll be with a real play-by-play guy, so you don't have to stomach any more players only.
Thank God.
Yeah, that was really, that's on your
brutal.
List.
It is. It's on my list of things that they should never, ever, ever do again. I wanted him to go a little deeper, like when I said, though, you know, who's your surprise in the East and West? Mm-hmm. And he said Washington in the East. And I was really hoping he would come up with like a Jazz or Clippers or something like that in the West, but he said Rockets, Spurs, and I don't know that. I mean, would you consider either of those a surprise?
Not top four teams.
Although, the Clippers would surprise me. I think top three in the West, yeah. But I think you could go four deep.
Yeah, it's not bad. In the East, it's different because it's not quite as hyper-competitive and balanced. You know, a lot of people who, you know, kid around saying that, you know, well, heck, the Rockets would be the number one seed in the East.
Yeah.
And so the East doesn't have as many quality teams. I was going to bet that he was going to say Boston or Washington. And Boston getting the one seed last night kind of, for me, rules them out, even though they look like they're overachieving every night because we talked about it yesterday. They don't have, like, three superstars.
Right.
From Washington's perspective, that's a team that's impressed me all year. And I agree with you. If I was going to say, you tell me who your sleepers are and I'll tell you who mine are. But I would go right off the top and say Washington in the East. And I would say Utah in the West. And I would say Utah is a team that could do some damage simply because they got some veterans with all that youth.
Not only that, they play defense. And
yeah, they
play, of all the teams in the playoffs, they're giving up the least amount of points of any of these 16 teams. So while they're not going to put up a ton of points, I mean, they're only averaging a little over 100 a game. But that's what's different about the playoffs is it all slows down and the amount of points that are getting scored goes down, so they can play a low scoring game, so that kind of favors them, I think, a little bit. Although when you look at their first round matchup, the problem is the Jazz, first of all, against the field in the Western Conference, they're 10-16. Even though they went 16-9 post All-Star break, against the rest of the playoff teams in the West, They have one of the lowest winning percentages in the West. The only team lower is the Thunder at 9-16. But the Jazz were 10-16 against the field. I would have thought that would have been a lot higher.
Especially because Gobert's kind of had a breakout. He's actually good in the post. But I agree with you on the other front, too. And that is, and I said this to you a couple weeks ago, the Clippers are a scary team simply because there's just too much wasted talent there. There's some disconnect, but when you look at their roster, you say that starting lineup and a couple of those guys coming off the bench, it's a pretty deep, talented team that just, whether you blame it on injuries or whatever, something's going on there.
Yeah.
But if they, because the Cavaliers are the one team that believes they can flip a switch come playoff time at any time and they can turn it on. That's a team in the West that if they can get that switch flipped the right way, there's enough talent there where they could make some headway.
Yeah. Yeah, they do have – I mean, there's no doubt they have plenty of talent. It's putting it all together.
Yeah. So, I mean, interesting to see how it plays out. I'm glad the postseason's finally here. I'm sure the league is too because they cringed when LeBron said that regular season games don't matter. But I'm – I don't – what's that? Cars for kids. But, Nick, you watch this team every single game. I mean, are you good with where the Rockets are going and excited for the playoffs? Anything that you see that might be a surprise on either side?
On the East, I mean, if you want to call Toronto a surprise, you really can't because they are kind of a top team in the East. But I don't think Washington will be that surprise team. But if I think they are good. I just don't think they'll be that surprise team. On the West, I mean, I'd like to see the Rockets get past the second round. I just don't know if they're going to do it. Even though the San Antonio Spurs and the Rockets have matched up well against the Spurs, they're going to turn it up in the postseason, I believe. I tend to agree with Kevin McHale. I believe it's going to be a rematch in the finals, Golden State versus Cleveland. That's just my guess. And I said it on – I made that official pick yesterday on Barry Warner. I said it on a podcast today with Craig Koshkin. I think it's safe. And I don't think you should be semi-disappointed if they don't get past the second round, I think. But if they get past the second round, you shouldn't be upset at all, in my opinion.
I asked you guys that earlier. I mean,
So you're saying they should be disappointed if they don't beat the Spurs?
Semi-disappointed, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I asked you guys that about a month ago, and I said, an acceptable playoff run for you guys to say the season was a success? How far do they have to go? So, Nick, you're saying if they don't get past the second round, it's a disappointment?
It's kind of a disappointment. Okay. I think it's a kind of Barry? A disappointment.
I just think if they show well against the Spurs, I mean, you're talking about probably the second best team in the NBA behind the Warriors, and it's a lot to even ask this team with one superstar and some really good role players to go in and beat a team like the Spurs or the Warriors. I think if they go six or seven games with the Spurs and they're not blown out even in the last couple of games, I think that's success. I think that's something they can build on. I think they can look at, well, how do we, where were we deficient against this team? And then they look to address that in the offseason, or how can they get better seeding next year by addressing that in the offseason? But, if they get swept by the Spurs and they're losing by 20 in all four of those games, disappointment.
Yeah. I mean, I would still call the season a success if they get bounced in the second round. I just think I'd be semi-disappointed, considering that they're the third best team in the West, considering they've made such a leap in progress from last season to this season. That's why I would be – I mean, we're fans here, right? I mean, we're all broadcasters and media members, but we're fans. I'm a Houston Rockets fan. I want them to take that next step. I mean, I don't think it's bad for a fan to kind of have that standard and say, hey, I want to go to the next level. I mean,
well, and you're realistic. A lot of fans, as we talk about, they drink the Kool-Aid and they think that this is a championship-caliber team instantaneously. I think to kind of piggyback on what you guys have said, my biggest thing would be you overachieved in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Just achieve in the playoffs, and I think you have a good year.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just don't disappoint. To Barry's point, if you falter badly in the playoffs, that could leave a black eye on what was an otherwise fantastic year for this franchise. So we can get back to more of that if you want. We've got calls waiting. Kyle and Kurt Lowe are up on the board. You can join them as well, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. Right now I want to tell you guys about Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. Great program run by you, the people of Houston, Texas, for kids trying to get an education in your city, that of H-Town. It's a great program because if you've been thinking about or you have a boat, motorcycle, truck, RV, car, or trailer – hanging around, collecting dust and rust, whether it's working or not, You can get rid of it, and it can be used as a resource to help kids get an education. How, you may ask? Well, you call 713-225-4226 or get on to HoustonCarsForKids.com, and you let them know what you got. They come with a tow truck. They take it away. They give you a tax deduction. They fill out all the paperwork, and you probably walk away with a smile on your face because now you don't have to take an ad out in the paper or do anything, and you have gotten a reward, and it's going to be the gift that keeps on giving. Because not only did you get that tax deduction, and just for mentioning ESPN 97.5, you get a $50 gift card, but the vehicle or whatever you gave up is going to be used as a resource to get kids who are trying to get a second chance at an education some of the things that they might need, whether it be book money, eyeglasses, warm meals, bus fare. It's all provided thanks to the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program and thanks to your donations. So you make the donation, they make it work. 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com, right off the car, not the kid.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.